happens to you, don't waste your time. Here's why.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Hey, go.
Bring me down.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Freeform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Hour number two of the show. Hour number two. Are you kidding me? Yes, hour number two of the show is now underway as it is now 4:03 here in the Boston area as we are now in the month of November. Can we just stop for just a moment and just admit that 2022 has just flown by in a blink of an eye, and now we're 3 weeks away from getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving for those who choose to celebrate Thanksgiving. Personally, I don't celebrate it, but you get my point. Where it's the annual day of gluttony where we collectively get to eat like a bunch of fat asses, but it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We're 3 weeks away from that day. So, with that being said, it's November 2nd, and it's absolutely unbelievable that we got one more month left in this calendar year. And I am so excited for what's to come. Possibly new blessings, new opportunities, who knows? And I'll tell you one thing, that's for sure. The Philadelphia Phillies got a new opportunity that's right in front of them now. Two wins away from winning the World Series as they defeat the Houston Astros 7-0 last night to win Game 3 of that 4 Classic in Philadelphia. If you want to talk baseball or you want to talk Bruins, you can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I figure since this is a sports show after all that this would be the most appropriate to talk World Series. Let's face it. It's November and baseball is still happening. It's a wonderful thing to have. And after all of the darkness surrounding the sport, going back to March when basically the players and the owners were basically reenacting a real-life rendition of Juliet and Robin, whatever you want to, whatever that is, they're basically just fighting over money, and amongst other benefits. They are now playing for the Fall Classic. They're playing the World Series. And we're about to have a new World Series champion crowned in very short order. So, I was watching the World Series last night. You know, switching between the Bruins as well as Game 3 in Philadelphia between the Astros and Phillies. And the thing that stood out to me was that on television, that place looked exactly like an absolute madhouse. And what's incredible is that I was watching the game, and the thing that I found myself saying to myself is that, oh my God, that place is jumping. I've been to Philadelphia sporting events. For those of you that don't know, once upon a time I lived in Philadelphia before I moved to Boston. And I'll tell you one thing that is for sure, in terms of that city, they love their sports just as much as Boston does. I would call Philadelphia the championship-less best sports city in America. And I say that because they don't have the championships that Boston sports has in its history, but the passion and the intensity is equally the same. It really is. And I was watching just the crazy Philly fanatics at Citizens Bank Ballpark down in Philadelphia last night. And the thing that I kept coming back to was, man, 47,000 people on top of you. I felt like my heart was melting out of just pure joy. And I'm not even a Phillies fan, by the way. You know, for those who have been following the show for a while, you know that I am a Yankee fan. You know that I like the team that I absolutely love near and dear to my heart. But I'm a baseball fan too. And I really admire and respect passionate sports fan bases. That's why I have always have said for the longest that Boston, New York, and Philadelphia, the three major cities that I've lived in, are three of the most passionate sports cities in the country, bar none. So last night, Bryce Harper goes yard, and that place goes absolutely berserk. It was just truly, it was truly incredible to watch. I mean, my gosh, the way that city absolutely just goes absolutely berserk. But that wasn't what really caught my eye. What caught my eye was Bryce Harper calling Alec Bohm after Harper goes deep and saying, hey, I picked up on something. I want you to carry this with you into your at-bat and do damage. That's not exactly what Bryce Harper said, but that was basically what we saw on Fox for the whole world to see. And what did Alec Bohm do? Boom! Goes yard. And the fans go absolutely crazy. And that's part of the reason why I am of the belief that it was absolutely incredible to watch, but I'm sure Philly fans absolutely lost their collective minds. And by the way, we do have the audio clip for you. This is what it sounded like last night. Joe Davis and John Smoltz on Fox on the call. Take it away.
In front of these fans for the first time since his pennant-clinching home run.
I'll be kind of shocked if Bryce is not going to the plate sitting on a breaking ball.
Two gone and a scoreless first inning. McCullers to Harper. It's good. Right center field, lightning strikes, 2-0 Phils. Well, Johnny sure looked ready for a curveball.
He sat on it, and he got it. Look, you look at film all the time, and you watch at-bats, and you can just tell sometimes a great hitter is going to take away one of the strengths of the opposing pitcher.
And that's what John Smoltz giving the analysis last night on Fox, in which that if you caught what happened leading directly into that at-bat, John Smoltz did an extraordinary job explaining the dynamics surrounding Houston Astros pitcher Lance McCullers, given that going into that bat, he had only thrown, I think, a fastball only maybe twice all your other left-handed batters? So Bryce Harper was going into the at-bat preparing to see a breaking ball, to see a breaking pitch. And did he ever get one? Because the home run he hit last night in Game 3 was off a curveball. This is what the rest of the call sounded like. This is courtesy, again, John Smoltz, Joe Davis with the call on Fox.
And he sure did it on the first pitch.
Hit deep. Yes. Right field. And the Phillies are going to lead it.
Yeah, they are.
Bryce Harper has put the Phillies on top with a two-run home run over the out-of-town scoreboard. Simply amazing. Harper here at home has homered on back-to-back swings.
That was Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson with the call on Sports Radio 94 WIP in Philadelphia.
2-0 Philadelphia here in the bottom of the first.
Now he's trying to get Alec Bohm's attention, who's on deck. A little bit of advice coming from Harper to Bohm.
Remember, Harper calls him over and gives him either a tip on spin or a tip on what he's doing.
So Lance McCullers looks to take a deep breath and settle into this game. 2-0 Phillies. Alec Bohm starts the second and rips one to left field. Over Alvarez and gone! Ambrose! 3-0! Alec Bohm's first career postseason home run is the 1,000th in World Series history. And whatever Bryce Harper told him, it's like helped.
Into his head. Swing of the first pitch, went really hard to the homer, dude.
Blasted left field deep. Alvarez back. He turns, he looks. It's gone. It just clears. Leadoff homer here in the second for Alec Bohm on a low laser just over the left field wall. It's his first homer in the playoffs. And it's 3-0 Phillies.
And what did we see last inning? Harper calling Bohm back and saying something to him about McCullers. It had to be something about McCullers' pitches. And Bohm jumped all over that one.
Alec, we saw Bryce Harper say something to you in the on-deck circle. What was it?
It's between us.
You saw that? That was, by the way, towards the end of that clip, that was Ken Rosenthal giving the dugout interview to Alec Bohm on Fox. That was the moment that told me that the Phillies were going to win the World Series. You cannot convince me otherwise as a sports fan, as a baseball fan, who believes in paying attention to the small signs that a team is going to win a championship. Point blank. Like, how often do you see that in sports, let alone in baseball, where a teammate, a superstar of Bryce Harper's caliber, calls the teammate and says, hey, this is what I want you to do. Pay attention for this. Be on the lookout for this. Boom. That's leadership personified in the case of Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper showing veteran leadership to Alec Bohm, a younger player at that. And what does he do? He does damage with that. Last night was a prime example as to why I am of the belief that the Phillies are going to win the World Series. I actually picked the Phillies to win the World Series going into this one. The Phillies haven't lost at home at all this postseason. They're 6-0. By the way, Game 4 of the World Series is tonight on Fox, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Frankly, I don't even think they're going to go back to Houston. That's how confident I am. If I was a betting man, I'd put down money on that bet. And that's kind of like where I am right now. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. As I like to do surprises every now and then, in which every now and then I will say, you know what? I got a little something for you. Today, I actually do have a little something for you. I have two guests here with me in the studio in which that they're going to join the show for a segment for a very special reason. You'll find out exactly why coming up next on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Sugar Ray Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk, Free Farm Radio.
U.S. Kids presents, What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Going on, looking at the dollar bill, nothing else around them. No love, no friendship, nothing else. Just
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. So I was teasing prior to the last music break that that for some reason, like, I typically like to have surprises in my back pocket, but this one for a special reason, I couldn't keep this under wraps for any longer. So recently, I was contacted by a couple of Boston University students to be part of a 5-minute documentary. I mean, just to even be thought of for a documentary in itself, it's like, say what? Really? Stop playing with me. So I have in studio here with me two of the individuals working on the documentary, and Jonathan and Lynn.
How
both,
you doing?
Both of whom are incredibly gracious enough to even stop by today to not only film some B-roll, but also, like, you know, be part of this show as well. So what's going on, guys? How are you guys doing?
How you doing, Shukri?
I'm good.
Listen, I'm humbled. First and foremost, let's just cut through the malaise, get straight to it. So what is the documentary about, and how did the idea of me come about?
Yeah, so the idea you came about, I have a friend who he's always on Twitter. Shout out Mitch. He's always on Twitter, and he sees your tweets a lot. And he sends me them sometimes because they're funny, you know, they're funny. he sends me the tweets, and we had a project in class, you know, film a documentary about a personality, someone that might be interesting, someone, you know, has something about their life that's cool. And I asked around, and Mitch was like, dude, you gotta do it about Shukri. And I'm like, all right. I reached out to Shukri. He's gracious enough to come on the documentary. And, you know, I have some ideas for it. You know, I'm looking into, you know, Shukri, as probably the listeners know, online, big personality, you know, I would say, local celebrity. Some might say. Shukri, you say that?
I will personally never admit that.
Never admit that?
No.
All right.
but I'm humble when people, like, say, oh, you're a celebrity. I'm like, I'm just a regular guy. Like, I'm just fortunate.
Local,
like,
celebrity's not celebrity, though. You're local celebrity. That's how I'm framing it, all right? Stick with it.
it's weird because... even a year and a half into this, like, I still find myself, like, really just kind of, like, having to grasp myself and say, like, it's a year and a half of where, like, my profile has just exploded.
Right.
Both social media and as well as even, like, in a way, like, my private life, like, to an extent. But Lynn, I can't let you sit there and be the quiet one over here. Like, nah, I'm gonna need you to step up and, like, you talk to me. Like, what's going on?
I'm good. We're in the same, like, prod one class, and so originally we wanted to be in the same prod group, like me, Taylor, and John.
Just didn't work out.
It didn't work out with our professor.
So yeah, there's another person working out. Shout out Taylor. She's one of my co-producers on this.
Oh wow.
So that's gonna be a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Lynn's helping out a lot.
Yeah, I'm just here today to, like, help out with camera and stuff. So.
Beautiful studio. I don't know if this isn't your place, but the studio is sweet.
This is definitely not my place. No.
There's so many records here, guys.
Yeah.
I love records. This is so nice.
Like, what has impressed you the most about the studios, like, upon when you first walked in?
I think the whole vibe of the studio is so nice. Like, not only the records, but also, like, there's, like, the graffiti everywhere.
Yeah, this place is crazy.
Like, it's so much better. I also do radio at BU, and WTBU is not like this.
Really? Like, how would you describe the atmosphere and what WTBU looks like for those that may not know?
It's very, like, cold. Like,
very cold.
There's, like, no. Really?
It feels like, but I mean, it feels like you're walking into, like, more of a set than, like, like a lived-in place.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah.
It's not really, like, homey or, like, certainly inviting, but, like, it's fun to do, but, like,
but you know,
you can do it here, obviously.
I think Shukri just you said something earlier, and it is that just kind of represents the media world as a whole.
Sure, go
like think things in media, like they move so fast,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's always innovating and stuff like that. But like, you know, you can be going hot, but just as fast in media, you go cold. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And it's just like that's the reason I'm thinking of doing this documentary. I've just seen you progress so quickly, and it's just really amazing to me. And I'm sure that a lot of people online, you've gained followers. You know that. You can toot your own horn a little bit here. All right. This is your show. It has your name on the show.
No, I appreciate that. Like, it's definitely, it's changed my life entirely. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that are just joining in, like, this is the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. And those of you that may have missed it, I was contacted recently by Jonathan, Lynn, and as well as Taylor, but specifically Jonathan, to be a part of a documentary that they're shooting based upon me, yours truly, which again, I can't thank you guys enough for even thinking of me. It's really exciting, and I'm really excited to share my story, and as well as to be able to like help out and give back in any way that I possibly can.
Right. Thank you.
So what I want to know from both of you, what drove y'all or inspired both of you to enter television and film as like a course? I don't know if that's your major but what inspires you to go in that direction?
You want to go first?
Doesn't matter who goes first.
Yeah, like, go ahead.
I can go. Me, it was mainly just like my family, my upbringing group with like a single mom. She's an immigrant.
Mm.
And so
from
I
where?
Like, she's from Haiti. We're Haitian.
Wow.
Yeah, so I feel like...
I'm Guyanese, so like this
I'm half Ghanaian too. My dad's from Ghana.
No way.
Oh, no, Guyanese.
Oh, French Guyana.
It's all good.
But yeah, I think the main thing for me was like I'd see movies and like I never really saw myself in them. Like I would, but like in like terms of like character, but like in terms of like actually looking at me. So I think that's a big thing I've always wanted to do in film, was just like write stories about like my family really and like their experiences, so that's why I did it. John?
Yeah, honestly my reason isn't that hard, but it's more of a coming from a point of like, you know, I've been able to see myself in film, you know, especially in what I'm interested in sports, you know, my whole life.
Yeah,
like ESPN, all those documentaries about like old Yankees teams, old Red Sox teams, Dodgers, all of those ESPN documentaries.
The 30 for 30s, yeah.
And there's just so much more to the world of sport that I feel like is never shown, you know, on any of these ESPN documentaries, HBO documentaries, definitely not. And I think that I'm in a position, especially with, you know, the new generation, to share a lot more stories from people that haven't been able to, you know, had their stories shared before.
Exactly.
So,
and
definitely why I'm in it.
Like, so for you, and I will also want to include you in this question, storytelling, is that something that you know gets your juices flowing, and what about it makes you so like I guess enthralled in the process of wanting to learn about someone's story when you do like documentaries or even projects like this?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, in storytelling, I think the real special thing about it is that no matter, you know, me and you, we both do games too. I directed Shukri a couple times. Shukri does great. You know, and I think that there's a story in everything, in sports, in, you know, rom-coms and in Marvel movies. And I think that, you know, what really drives us storytellers is that, you know, no matter the story, if it's well made and if there's good conflict, we can all relate to it in some way, and we can all see ourselves in the story. Even if it's a sports game, you know, there's so much to like a sports game.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's the big picture. Yeah. The game was, you know, there's the stats too. There's like the game was, you know, 5-4. It was 2 home runs, whatever like that. But there's also, you know, the families behind it, the cities behind it. There's just so much more to sport, and there's so much more to the story that we all can just relate to.
Nice. I think for me,
move a little closer.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah. Sorry. I think for me, it's like the big thing about like storytelling, especially in film, is that like you want to show and not tell. Because it's one thing to like, you know, like tweet about like a story,
oh,
or, like,
absolutely,
write about
yeah.
it. Mm-hmm. But, like making a movie about it and be able to like show exactly like this perspective of something is like totally different.
Mm.
And which is why I've always like liked filmmaking, because like not everything can like just be written. Like sometimes you need to show someone like what's happening or like how someone's feeling via camera. And so I think that's a big thing for me. It's why I love Sertan so much.
Absolutely. I can tell you this one, that's for sure, that since I began doing games for BU on ESPN Plus, is that there's something very unique about the campus, just walking around and seeing other students. And I mean, I'm not that old. I'm 31. Like, I'm not grandpa. Like, right. I haven't even hit fatherhood yet. And Lynn is over here looking at me like, what the hell is this man talking about? Like, with the most stoic look that I can just describe. Like, if I can paint the picture, she's had this look of just this blank stare, like, that's the kind of, like, I was like, okay, like, excuse me. But the feeling that I get when I walk around is like, it just seems like there's an air of prestige, and not prestige in an arrogant way, but there's a great level of pride. There's a level of excitement to be there. And I want to get your thoughts on your experience at BU so far, about like campus life, student life, and just your overall experience at BU.
You know, there's a lot of schools out there, and you'll see, you know, there's different definitions of school spirit, I think.
Sure.
When you go to a Southern school, your school spirit's in your sports teams.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's big in sports. You wear, you know, if you're Tennessee, you're wearing orange every day.
Oh, yeah.
But what I feel like at BU is that your school spirit comes in the work that you do. You know, I think that, you know, we're all there trying to progress, trying to be better people, trying to, whatever we're into, whether it's, you know, science, film, communications, journalism, you know, the pride comes from the work that we put out and the work that our peers put out, and we all try to help each other there. Because I think that's really where the school spirit is at BU.
And that's truly incredible. I want to get your thoughts, Lynn, on this.
Oh, I fully agree. Yeah, I think, especially like, obviously for sports, it's like we only have a hockey team. Yeah. We have a sports too, but like that's like our big thing.
Big thing is hockey. But definitely.
Men and women's, which is just incredible to be a part of.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I definitely agree with, like, in terms of like for BU's campus, especially because we're like not like a regular college campus,
like a traditional campus. Right. Yeah,
exactly. Right. All is like one long strip of like land or whatever.
Yeah.
So like, I think definitely like through our work is like where we have the most community and spirit.
Definitely.
Is this your first documentary or film project you've worked on so far, or if not, what has been your most memorable or most enjoyable for you?
This is not my first film project.
I'd love to hear like
I've done a lot of stuff. You know, the great thing about, you know, any college you go to, any community, you know, there's the classes that you take, but there's also the people. You know, you do stuff outside of classes, of course, stuff like that. You know, I work a lot, you know, doing sports directing for live sports for ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of that. And that's really just a great experience, you know. If anybody's ever worked in live, even radio live, it's a total different experience.
1,000%.
Than doing pre-recorded.
Between radio and TV streaming, but especially TV, like, it's very different.
It's crazy different.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody listening, you know, definitely... If you're at a point where you want to change something up, try live TV, because it is exciting.
It's exciting, but it's also it has its challenges.
And I try to
like explain to people, even when I first started doing games on ESPN Plus, going back to this past spring, when I was doing Brown University, like Ivy League college baseball on ESPN.
Sure.
One thing that stood out to me was like the pace. It's like everything has got to be, it's got to be boom, 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 in and out.
Right.
Like, you got to be in and out of your breaks like cleanly.
Yep.
And I even learned that even working alongside my broadcast partner, Craig White, the person who I work with when I call a Boston University women's hockey games on ESPN Plus. Like, you got to be in and out, and it's exciting, because it's like you have so much that you want to bring to the broadcast, so much you want to say, but you got to be cognizant of the light in which that when it goes on, it's like, hey, break time, you gotta be out, like, you know, there's a hard out you have to have.
I say this a lot, the most fun part about doing live is when stuff, you know, when stuff goes
absolutely
wrong.
Oh yeah,
I mean, without that, you know, it's not that fun. But you know, if they say that, like, you know, a mic isn't working, that's where the fun comes from, because you have a time. You cannot, like, delay the broadcast. It is going live at 7.
Yep.
And you're going to just have to find a way to make it work. But it's not like that in pre-recorded stuff at all.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you work a lot more in pre-recorded. I do some, but, like, what do you love about film?
What do you like about pre-recorded, and what do you think are some of the differences between pre-recorded and live, in your opinion, Lynn?
I think for live, like, I would say, like, nowadays you don't really have, like, live, like, we have, like, live, like, sports, but in terms of, like, TV, you don't really have, like, live sitcoms
anymore.
Yeah, not
too much anymore.
So you don't really have that. So I think, like, right now, like, just, like, I think it's good to have all that planning behind a script, especially for a narrative, too.
For sure.
There's so much going on. Like, there's so much crew to handle and so much cast you have to handle.
Right.
So being able to, like, not be live takes a lot of stress off of you.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
So, and also allows for, like, more opportunities to, like, make better content as well.
Agreed.
So that's also a big reason why I like pre-record stuff. I like live as well. Like, we do live for, like, BUTV 10. Like,
right.
Some of the shows are live.
Mm.
But
a little insider baseball real quick.
Yeah.
Half the stuff that you see on live TV is not live. Like, you'll see, like, all those shots outside of stadiums and stuff that, not live.
That's pre-recorded. Like,
that's all pre-recorded.
That's pre-recorded B-roll.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, the only stuff you see is live is the game. Even, you know, opens, you know.
They're typically pre-recorded. Oh, yeah.
Totally. Mm-hmm. So, if listeners, you're thinking that everything live is live, this is not true.
Like,
it would not work.
Exactly. Like, case in point, when you are watching, let's say, for example, if you're watching, like, a World Series game on Fox, sometimes it's not live. Sometimes it's pre-recorded just moments before, like, it's time to go live on air and whatnot. So it's interesting in that regard. But shifting from, like, the technical side of, like, TV production and directing and broadcasting to your journeys to BU, how did both of you ultimately decide that Boston University was going to be the school of your choice to attend? I want to hear your story. Lynn, go ahead first.
For me, I'm from Florida. And so,
oh, what part?
Tampa.
Okay, yeah. Nice.
So for me, it was like, I definitely wanted to leave Tampa. I didn't want to go up north. I'm not a big fan
of
Florida.
You leave the sun and go up to the frozen tundra that is Boston.
There's sun here sometimes.
Yeah, there's sun here, but like, we're about to enter the dark and cold.
There's sun here six months a year.
Yeah, so I was looking, like, I know for a fact that I want to be out of state for college. So I applied to all northern schools. I applied, like, to Harvard. I applied to UMich, NYU, Columbia. So I was like, I know I want to be up north.
Mm.
And I know I also want to go into a good film program.
Yeah.
And so I was like, BU.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But what was it about BU that made it attractive, to you?
Definitely being in a city. I live in, like, a really rural place.
Mm.
So I definitely wanted a city lifestyle and, like, not having to drive a car. So that's a big thing for me. And
I mean, with the way the MBTA is, you might need to drive a car.
I mean, the subways, yeah.
The subways, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I definitely want to go to school with that. And also, BU gave me full scholarship. So I was like, okay.
Ooh, nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I mean, I'm from Boston. I'm from, actually, just outside of Boston. I grew up in Belmont for most of my life.
I don't know where that is.
Yeah. But I do believe Boston's the best city in the world. So, I mean, I couldn't stand, you know, at some point I'll have to leave here, you know, New York or LA or something like that. But I want to stay in Boston just a little bit longer. My teams are good here.
Yeah.
All right. I want to see them win. Love a Celtics championship. That's all I want.
Yeah, I'm hoping that'll be the case this season.
We'll see.
Despite the storm that has
surrounded the E-May storm.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on that.
I mean, after all, this is a sports talk show, so like it is something that I have to talk about after all. But in a spirit of just having fun, when you begin to just cultivate these different stories and ideas of films that you want to work on, like, what are some of the things that you've learned from, like, your professor in terms of, like, finding the story within the story? You know, I'm a person, like, you obviously see and know what I do. Like,
yeah.
I'm naturally going to ask questions out of curiosity. Like,
like
who is the professor for you that has, like, in a way, influenced you in terms of like how you like to approach like film projects and so forth?
You know, there's so many great professors at BU at all universities. You know, I think universities are a great place to really get started. If you want to learn something, take a night class. You know, there's ways of doing it.
That's a great point. I did that myself when I was in college. Yeah.
No, there's great ways of learning. But honestly, you know, a great part about going to university is that you'll learn not only, you know, how to write scripts or, you know, how to operate a camera, but you're also going to learn, you know, what to make your films, TV shows about.
Yeah.
Because I truly believe that, you know, creativity and inspiration, it doesn't come from your head. It comes from the world around you.
I agree.
So the more that you can learn about other people, other people's backgrounds, the more interesting that your stories will be. And the more that people, you know, as I said this before, the more people can relate. So, I mean, I don't really have one professor, I would say.
That's okay.
But yeah, I would just say that the whole university experience as a whole, it definitely helps my storytelling experience.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's like my high school music teacher, Justin Morehouse Baggett, he's actually alum for Berkeley.
Oh,
and
wow. Awesome.
A lot of my storytelling actually comes from like, from music. Because like a lot of it obviously is showing and not telling.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Definitely.
And I think from him I learned like to be fearless in your storytelling and like not be afraid to like hold back in what you want to say. And so I think that's a lot of things that people are learning in college right now that I already learned in high school because of my teacher. So I think that's the biggest thing, just like not being afraid to like tell stories.
Absolutely. For those of you that are just tuning in, this is the Shukri Rice Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford with yours truly, Shukri Rice, joined by a couple of individuals who are more than kind enough to make me the main feature in their documentary that they're working on, in Jonathan and Lynn. It's really exciting to be a part of this project that they're working on. So in continuation of just discussion, it's not even so much of a formal interview, but what are some of the pros and cons of current social climate on campus? It's not just specifically just related to BU, but just overall your college experience, social climate. What are some of the pros and cons that you've experienced so far?
I think for me, I guess coming from Florida, like I came up like in a pretty like conservative area, and so BU is like pretty liberal school, and so that was really interesting to see. A lot of the times, like people are like very like show offish about how liberal they are and like how like supportive they are, and it can be like a bit overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah,
they'll be like a little too ally-ish. You know what I mean? So I think that's a really interesting thing in terms of the social climate at BU. But overall, I've had a good experience.
Yeah. You know, I think change never stops, you know, and I think that at universities where you're researching, you know, you're learning a lot, you know, the more you learn, the more you're going to change. So,
oh, for sure. Yeah.
So at universities, you know, for social climate wise, it does, you know, tend to be more liberal. But, you know, I think that I mean, I like it a lot. It's a good time. You know, you know, there are people that we'll lean this too much this way, too much that way, but it's all about setting that aside and just being a good human being at when you're trying to, you know, have a good social climate at a university. Definitely.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, like, are you guys part of any, like, extracurricular clubs or like what else, like, do you do outside of classes?
I am the head of narrative programming for BUTV 10, so I run all the narrative shows. I'm also a radio show at WTBU, which I already mentioned. I'm secretary.
Tell me about your shows. Like,
show, it's called Oxford Is Revoked on WTBU Sundays.
Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m.
2 to 4 p.m. So tune in if you guys are interested. We just talk about, basically, there's like three of the DJs, and we have digits with the DJs in training.
Yeah.
And so basically, we just like, we have a theme every week, and then we like review each other's music on air and like just like talk about either it's really good or it's horrible. And we just talk, and we just talk about it on the air. So cool, it's really fun. But yeah, I do that. I'm also in a gospel choir at BU that I'm part of. And I'm on, there's a film club called Red List, and I'm secretary for that. So yeah, I'm pretty involved.
It's too much.
And I'm an RA.
Oh,
yeah.
Too
much. Yeah.
The joys of being an RA.
Yeah.
Is it? Do you like that?
I like being RA. I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna make him an RA because I know it's gonna make a really funny show one day.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The experience is like,
there's so many stories you can make out of being an RA. Like, it's so crazy.
Give me a story that kind of, in a way to kind of like rekindle a lot of like college memories for me, but give me a story of some of the funniest things that you've experienced being an RA at BU.
So far, okay, I have a story, but I don't know if it's funny. It's funny to me.
Well, go share. I want to hear it. I'm actually curious.
I'm like walking in front of Warren, right? And this is probably like 10 minutes at the aftermath of whatever happened.
Yeah.
And so basically, I think probably, man, I'm present in the news already, but there was this kid who like went in a van with like what people thought was a kidnapper.
Oh yeah.
And so like when things like that happen, like all our race who were around like have to like be on the job and be like and like be to call BPD and like all this happened. And so then we found out it was just like a kid and his mom was a different race and they just like so it was like a whole thing. People were like, oh my god, this kid's getting kidnapped.
I didn't know that was the story. I thought that
yeah, no, literally.
Called that wow. up.
But like, all, but like, on like I mean, articles, it says like cops were like, it was misunderstanding. I'm yeah. like,
misunderstanding. There's more, really more facts there.
The mom does drive a like camper van for a car.
Oh,
so
yeah, exactly. Gosh. So I'll give him that.
Little like, bit, van just a little bit. It's a little size.
But yeah, that was really funny. I was like,
oh,
what is this?
Oh gosh.
But, yeah, it's a time.
That's funny.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jonathan.
For what? Funny story? It's too many. I'm not an RA.
It doesn't matter whether you're an RA or not. Like,
funny
story. I want to know like what
the college experience is
exactly
like.
Like that. I want to know. Like, I got too many stories. You know what? I'm gonna share one real quick because
go ahead. Let's hear it.
Because like,
this is bringing you back to college.
Listen, 2015 was the end of my college time.
Okay.
Like, it was 7 years.
Where'd you go?
Long Island University, New York. Born and raised in New York. Went to college there.
Yeah.
Went to high school in New Jersey, part of the New York Tri-State region.
Sure.
I got too many memories from my time at LIU. I really do. But one of them I just want to highlight is, oh, man. There was something about the fall semester in which that I witnessed like quite a few like on campus like parties and gatherings and things like that. I'm talking about like where they'd be inside of this big hall or like an old auditorium and things of that nature. And it would always be like on a Thursday night where it's like, for me, I can honestly say I have never had a Friday class.
Wow.
Never.
Lucky.
I purposely, listen, if there is one thing that I made sure of when I was in college,
no Friday class.
I refuse to take a Friday class because I want to be able to go out on a Thursday night and know like, yo, my weekend starts now. Man, listen, I am not going to wake up on a Friday morning and be like, damn, I got class at 9 a.m.
Oh, I had 8 a.m. last semester.
On a Friday.
On a Friday. No, I mean, did I show up?
I mean, I don't know. Bro.
I can't say that over the air if I did or not.
See,
but
that kind of thing makes me wonder if you're a masochist. Like, I mean, that is just painful. Like, goodness grief. Like, listen, for anybody who's a college student right now listening on campus of Tufts, if you have a Friday class, God bless you. I really respect the hell out of you.
Yeah,
because
honestly.
I was too immature for Friday classes. Because I know if I woke up on a Friday morning, I didn't want to have to worry about going to class. My only thoughts were, what am I going to do tonight? Like, what? I mean, I'm in NYC, for God's sakes. 20 years old.
Yeah.
Class on a Friday?
Yeah.
Please. But for me, one of the memories I really cherish big time is Fridays, especially like the beginning years, like the early years, when you're like really trying to figure out like who and what you are, what you like, what you don't like as an individual, just perusing around NYC and taking the train. And I spent a lot of those times alone. Like, not that I didn't have friends, but they were just people that didn't want to like hang out with. So I was like, all right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make time for me to just have fun by myself. So what I would do is I would take the PATH train either from 33rd Street, Midtown Manhattan, or from the World Trade Center to Hoboken, and then take another train over to Newport Mall and go to the movies. So I would just go to the movies, watch whatever.
Yeah, going to the movies like, by yourself is the best.
It's the most amazing thing. So great. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Folks,
for those of you that are too scared to do anything by your damn self, going to the movies is absolutely gotta be top of your list.
You don't have anybody around you.
Exactly.
You got the popcorn in the seat next to you, the drink.
It's the popcorn awesome. Next to, for me, listen, I was a big icy addict.
Okay,
icy. The
polar bear. Yeah.
I always got me like the tall ones.
Yep.
Like the multicolor one, like, I think it wasn't a fruit punch, but it was like the mixture between the blueberry and like the
one of the mixer.
The
ones?
Mixer, okay, yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, it's been too long since I've gone to the movies. I gotta change that.
Movies are a good time.
Like, seriously, yeah, like, going to the movies by yourself, there's nothing like it. Especially.
Also, you can enjoy the movie a lot more. It's like, you're like there with them. It's not like you don't have to deal with, you know, Bobby sitting to your right texting the whole time. You're just by yourself.
Or Alexis, like, two seats over, like, on her phone. It was just with another dude wondering if other previews are going on other than the movie, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean. Right. What about you, Lynn? Like, were you one that enjoys going to the movies like by yourself, or do you have to have someone with you to go in order to enjoy?
Honestly, it depends on the movie.
That's facts. That's facts.
100%. Like, some movies, like, you want to see other people.
Yeah. Which ones, for example, for you?
Like, I'm seeing Black Panther with all my friends. I already bought tickets. Like,
yeah, facts.
Like, that meant there's not a solo movie. Like, you're seeing that with your friends.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
I'll probably see it two times, honestly. I love Black Panther 1.
Bro. Black Panther.
Oh, great movie.
When that teaser?
I do a teaser all the time. Literally, we're going to at least every day. Like, that teaser is so good.
Listen.
With the song, and then Kendrick comes in. Literally, it's so good.
Yeah, okay, was that? Was that at 109 on the timestamp?
Like, yo. When I tell you, when it first came out in the spring of 18, I can't believe it was in four plus years, and in memory of Chadwick Boseman, like, we love you and miss you. But I remember, like, when I went to go see that movie, just the buzz and the electricity.
Yeah.
Like, didn't matter where you were.
There hasn't been a Marvel movie like that.
No, not since.
Maybe, what was that? The big one, Endgame or something like that.
Maybe Endgame,
but
Spider-Man,
too,
though.
Spider-Man didn't have the same
buzz. It was the same vibes, though.
Like, where you had, like, people dress up,
yeah,
like in African culture, like oh my god, yes, make sure you had either a grand boo-boo or the shiki or something, you just dressed up,
right,
just to go see the movie,
right?
Yeah. Like the first few weeks or even the first month, I just remember just how incredible it was. Like, there hasn't been a movie that's come out since, but with that, I didn't go alone. I went with some other people, but just the experience was just incredible.
Yeah. I'm hoping the next one is like that. I wanna.
No, Ryan Coogler, he's a miss.
Yeah,
he's
Ryan Coogler's awesome. He's a director, really? Yeah, he's great.
I love him so much.
Oh man, but you know what's interesting is. During that time, I just, as I mentioned, I got comfortable just doing things by myself.
Yeah.
Are there ever times where like, it's a Saturday and you're just free, or it's a Saturday night and you're like, man, what do I do with myself? What am I going to do?
You know what's a thing that not a lot of people do? It's like, headphones out, on a walk, by yourself, just taking in the world. You know what I mean?
I do it.
Not a lot of people do it. They always have their headphones in looking down, but like, if you just go on a walk by yourself, you're going to solve some like problems in your life because you're going to be thinking that time. You're going to have time to think. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Or like, for a class, I have to break a story, right? I have to make a story for a script or something like that. I don't stay in my dorm. I go outside, take out my headphones, and just absorb the world around me.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it just solves some problems out there.
Oh, for sure.
Just by yourself. Just, you know, just you and nature.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Lynn?
I think for me, when I'm trying to find a story, I either like go outside. I do listen to music sometimes to find a story.
Music inspires.
Mm-hmm. Or I just like call my mom because she always says the most absolutely weirdest things. And I'm like,
yeah, that works. Yeah, hey, that's one way of grounding.
Like, literally, I'm like, yo, what are you saying? Writes everything down. Like, I don't know. And my brother, too. My brother, he's a cop now, so he's a lot of crazy stories about just, like...
Oh, yeah.
Mm, so, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
So that's pretty cool. So That's what, like my mom
and I have like an incredible relationship. Like, what I will say is that there'll be these moments where she just has this fun. She's gonna kill me because I know she's listening to the show right now. But she'll have these moments where she just gets into these mom moments where it's like it's just her personality just shining. Yeah. I'm just like. Just had the most serious look in my face, and she knows what the look I'm talking about because I'm her son, damn it! Like, so she knows me, like, so. But it's but I when you said that, I said no, I felt. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, but just what about a couple more minutes left? Just real quick, in terms of the documentary,
yeah.
Once it's completed, because I know because obviously there's still some work that's got to be done. Yeah,
definitely.
Like, where would people be able to, like, watch it? Were you posting it on YouTube? Or
We'll see, honestly.
Yeah, we'll see.
Probably YouTube.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll definitely let you know. You can post it out there.
Sure,
But, yeah, no paywall. I'm just... It'll be... It's only 5 minutes.
Done.
I could probably fit that in a TikTok,
you'd be surprised,
to be honest.
That's true.
Actually, that is really true.
Like...
I didn't even think about that.
TikTok is not even short form anymore.
No, you can have a 10 minute video. You can do short form and long form.
Both, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the same, though. Yeah, I like the short form, like, quick, like, here's what I got to say, boom, I'm done. You know what I mean?
That's kind of like how I first built my platform on Twitter, where I do these short form videos and I'm just, you know, pumping Bruin fans up, like, getting ready for, like, Bruin playoff games. It started last year, 2021. But. I like long form too because if you want to go, but if you want to go on a long winded rant, you should be able to go on a long winded rant.
Totally, agree. It helps. Yeah. Helps the soul.
Oh, for sure. It's a soul cleanser. But in all seriousness, though, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me,
Jonathan and Lynn. Like for not only stopping by, but as well as like just spending the last 40 minutes on the show, just talking about the documentary that's coming up, but also just. Talking about college life, because man, I there are days that I do genuinely miss it. There are days and there are times I'm like, you know what, I don't
you
miss
definitely
it.
Definitely don't.
Especially during midterms and finals, I see everybody study. I'm like, oh no, I don't miss that at all.
Yeah, no,
no, no,
no way. No way.
Yeah, that's not it.
But yeah.
But like, you guys have social media, and where would you like people to follow you or?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
Plug your social media.
Yeah. So I'm also a photographer. So.
Ooh.
Instagram is Lynn Got a Camera. LYNN Got a Camera.
Ooh,
so follow that.
Yes.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just find me on Twitter. Just look up Jonathan Messer. Just find me there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tweet like once every 30 days.
Goodness grief! You're like so inactive. It's not even funny. It's like. Man, you break my freaking soul. Like,
I tweet like random stuff every 30 days.
I'll follow you right now.
Oh, okay, let's go. I got a follower.
I'll make sure I follow you two both after the show concludes. Like, but I got to wrap up the show as we are now at the end of the program. As we got another show coming up right after the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, don't go anywhere. I know you got a busy Wednesday. The Real Horror Show with Chris Earl is coming up next. It's going to be here with you from 5 until 7. It's going to be pretty good. Don't go nowhere. Get rid of the Halloween sweets. Thanksgiving's coming up. You've been listening to the Shukri Wright Show, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. I will talk to you guys again next week. Sayonara. Peace.
John. We can't keep putting this off.
Okay, I'll clean the gutters.
I'm talking about your dad.
Well, what can we do? He wants to stay in his house.
We can make his house safer.
Yeah, I worry about the steps.
Perfect world, there are no steps, but he does have steps. And that banister only goes halfway up. And all those little throw rugs are falls waiting to happen.
So what about his prescription meds? If he forgets and takes them twice, he could get really dizzy.
Right. We could get him one of those daily pill counters. And he should have some sturdy hand grips in the bathroom and shower. This is all easy to do.
You know he's a proud guy. He's not going to take all our fussing lying down.
That's the idea.